chestnuts roasting
on an open fire.
Oh my goodness.
What?
That wasn't good, bud.
You ready?
Let's go.
Are you already recording? Oh my goodness. Hello, episode. Good morning and welcome to Life Song Radio, episode 161. You scoundrel.
One of my responsibilities on the show is running the little mixer board, and didn't know I was recording, did
No,
you?
I had no clue.
So now the world knows you can't sing a lick.
I think they already knew.
Yeah. But they do know I can't sing, so
no, no. I'm afraid they feel the same way about both of us.
You're probably right. Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Philip.
Getting ready for this Christmas season. Very wonderful time, but
We're sitting right now in Phil's studio, right in the very front lobby, right by the window. And I'm noticing you have no decorations for Christmas in your window. You go around the square, everybody's got decorations. At least a wreath. You have nothing. You Scrooge. Put some fake snow on the window.
Nobody ever comes down this way.
Oh, my goodness.
They just kind of make that loop. Of course, we're not a business that requires a lot of traffic. Anyway, it's good to have you back with us, ladies and gentlemen, and just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Christmas is right around the corner. Very exciting time when we celebrate the birth when God wrapped himself in flesh.
As a matter of fact, in a couple of weeks, not next Sunday, the 17th, but the following Sunday, Christmas Eve, we'll have a special Christmas episode talking about the birth of Christ and about Christmas. We'll do a special episode, maybe with a special guest.
Well, I'm glad you told me about that.
I just did.
Okay. I wonder who it's going to be. You got anybody in mind?
No, I'll let you do that part.
Anyway, we're getting back this week into Hebrews. We're going to end up a segment where we have been in contrast, really showing the old covenant and the new covenant. We're going to end that section today, and I think we'll be on verse 15 of chapter 9.
We're going to start there.
All right, why don't you read that, go through 28, and we got to do it, Jimmy. We got to do it.
I don't know that we're going to make it through all that, Bubba.
Let's try.
But I'll read it, verse 15, chapter 9. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Wow. That's big.
Yeah.
Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you." And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with blood. And according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he wouldn't have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him.
That's a lot of stuff. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time we have to look at your word, and we thank you that We thank you for the new covenant. We thank you that you are a mediator who carries out the will of the Father. Lord, we just thank you. We can take great joy and peace in knowing that our salvation is secure with you in heaven. Again, we thank you, and we just pray for the next few minutes as we dive in and learn more about you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, and for this reason, that's how it starts off. And for this reason, refers back to what has just been said, namely, that Christ, because of his sacrificial death, had become the mediator of a new covenant and a better covenant, by the way.
That's right. So it was absolutely necessary that Jesus, or that guilt, be atoned for. And so Jesus became the mediator. So there's anything short. There was nothing short of that could have secured the internal inheritance for those who are called by God. Absolutely nothing. That was it. That was what it was going to take. So you take away the atonement, and you've robbed God of his greatest reason for being a mediator at all.
In Ezekiel 18:4, Jimmy, it says, "The soul that sins must die." Did you get that?
Yeah.
The soul that sins must die. So the only way a person could come to God was to have the penalty of his sin paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so this payment has been provided for everybody who puts their trust in Jesus Christ. He is the bridge. He is the mediator. He is the only mediator. There's only one between God and man. And what he did in one act, no priest could ever do.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Now get this. The definition. Well, let me say it this way. The contemporary, modern definition of the word mediator, because when you have a disagreement between parties, and you know, there's times today that you can go to mediation instead of going to court and sitting in front of a judge. If I have a disagreement with you, if we have like a legal dispute, instead of me suing you and taking you to court, we can sit and go to mediation, and there will be a impartial party set between us, and they will decide, you know, what happens, more or less. Well, that's not what mediator means here. When you talk about Jesus as the mediator, he's not a middleman or a go-between between two parties. Jesus being the mediator is actually on God's terms. He's the mediator on God's terms, meaning that he is in the middle of two parties, us and God. He sits in the middle and mediates between us and God. He's our mediator. But what that means is, the wrath that was supposed to be poured out on us is poured out on him in the middle instead of us.
Mm.
Man, that's big.
That's good news.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And so mediator is really here. It refers to the one who intervenes between the two to restore peace and friendship between the two, because he restored the peace and friendship between God and man, because he took on the actual wrath of God for man. You see what I'm saying? And so Paul in 1 Timothy 2 said, "There is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time." So the mediator, the one mediator, gave himself as a ransom in order to be that mediator. Oh, my goodness.
Jimmy, I had a lady recently ask me, how were the Old Testament believers saved? Since we know salvation is only through Jesus Christ, that's Acts 4:12, how were people in the Old Testament saved? Well, they're saved on the same basis as we're saved today, by the finished work of Christ. So, part of Christ's work as our mediator, a mediator of the new covenant, was the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant. So one of the first accomplishments of Jesus' death was to redeem all of those who had believed under the old covenant. And it's kind of like this. Jimmy believed in the future coming Messiah and what he was going to do. And so you got your believing credit card out and you put that belief on credit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you believed it by faith. All right. And so when Jesus actually came and the act and the substitutionary death happened on the cross and the blood was shed, the transaction was reconciled at that point. So that's one of the things that the cross did.
Yeah.
So it saved those under the old, and it also, and then the way it saves under the new are the same way. Faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So that's how they're saved. Verse 19 says, "For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood." So, in order for the new covenant to go into effect, in order for God's will to go into effect, the death of the tester had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also what happened at the cross.
That's right.
And so I'll tell you what's really neat. And what is Jesus doing right now? What is he doing?
He's interceding.
He is. There was a will. And guess who guarantees the will? Jesus.
That's right.
That's why we can have total assurance of our salvation. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ, when you repent of your sins, when you follow Christ, the mediator, the one in charge of the Father's will, is in his hands.
Yeah. That's good.
It's in his hands. So, what's God's will? God's will is not to lose any.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
You ain't going nowhere if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ. It's not God's will that he'll lose any.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you can sleep at night. That's why you shouldn't be anxious. That's why you shouldn't worry. Now, examine, yes, but be anxious and worry about losing your salvation. Oh, by no means, don't do that. If you truly have trusted in Christ, the mediator, the one responsible for the will, is in his control, not in yours.
That's right.
So,
I completely, totally agree with that.
So, in order for the will to go in effect, Jesus had to die.
Yeah.
And be resurrected, actually. Because he couldn't be a mediator if he's still stuck in the grave.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
Because if there's no resurrection, there's no mediator to mediate the will. So without the resurrection, none of this could happen. And I look at all these other religions who, and a lot of them even claim to believe Jesus. Yeah, he was God, but he wasn't resurrected. He arose in spirit. It wasn't bodily resurrection. Well, if that's the case, we're in trouble.
That's exactly right.
Because if he's not raised up, then we won't be raised up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you even got Islam or the Muslim faith that, what do they say? I'm trying to remember exactly what they say, that Jesus never died on the cross. As a matter of fact, that I think they say that was Judas. So they do everything to discredit
Jesus,
the death.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can discredit the death, then you have no resurrection. So if you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not believing the gospel.
Mm.
And without him being resurrected, he couldn't be at the right hand of the Father, being the mediator of the covenant. In verse 18, it says, "Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood." So that's one thing we got to realize is even the first covenant, blood was involved. Blood was involved. Next verse says, "For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and the people. Man, wouldn't that be something to see that transaction happen?
Absolutely.
All right, 20 says, saying, this is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you. And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and the vessels used in worship. So going back up a little bit, when Moses came down after receiving the law, what he did is ratify the covenant with blood. He ratified it with blood. Not only did he sprinkle it on the law, on the book itself, but he sprinkled it on the people. Jimmy, how was somebody saved?
Well, you're saved by hearing the gospel.
Yeah. And by?
Well, hold on.
Okay.
So there's power. The gospel, Romans 1 says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Correct.
So the gospel come, and a person, faith come by hearing the gospel and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
Right? And so faith, you're saved by God's grace through that faith.
Right.
And faith comes by hearing by the word of God, the gospel being the word of God.
So you what you're doing is believing in Christ, what Christ did.
Right.
You're looking back, believing what Christ did, that he was the Messiah.
That's right.
He was the one that died. He was the one that shed the blood. And the old covenant, they're saved the same way, by God's grace, through faith in believing in the one who was coming,
yeah,
who did shed his blood, who did die. So salvation is grace through faith,
yeah,
in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So there had to be blood shed. There had to be a death. Without a death, without the shedding of blood, there will be no forgiveness of sin. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. And that's what we've been saying for the last several weeks, that Christ has entered the Holy of Holies, not made with hands. And the good news is, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, he has entered and appeared before the Father, before the presence of God on the people's behalf. Who? The ones that have trusted Christ, who believed in the finished work of the cross.
That's right. So what Aaron couldn't do by entering the Holy of Holies in the holy place every single year after year after year after year, Christ did one time. Mm-hmm. Christ did a final by entering heaven one time.
Yeah. One time. That's
one
it.
Time. That's it.
That's the key.
Yep.
Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, just like you said, Jimmy, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not of his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Man.
Here another contrast, that something only Christ could do. He shed his own blood. He did it once and for all, never to be repeated, at the end of the age. And so that age is up. Now we're in the church age. We're in the age of,
that's
of
right,
grace.
That's
so
right.
There's a by his death, there's a new covenant, a new will, and he is the mediator. Verse 27, just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who eagerly await him.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, this is probably one of the most scariest verses in I don't want to say scary, but it is, because you die once and
it's over.
Right there, that's it. And so man dies once, after that everything's fixed, settled, done with. There's no second chances.
Zero.
In eternity. So, you know, one life, one death, everything is weighed, is weighted, and the results declared at judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
So just like Jimmy dies once, and after Jimmy's death, there is judgment, not for sin,
right,
but you will face God. You will face God in judgment of rewards.
That's right.
Christ also died once.
Mm-hmm.
He also died once. And in his first coming, he dealt with sin. In his second coming, he don't deal with sin. He don't deal with sin.
No.
So that's the difference between...
Sin's already been dealt with.
Correct.
Yeah.
So when he comes, appears again...
He comes as judge.
He comes as judge. And this is this verse here, I don't want to get too deep into it, but the second time... this is at the end of the tribulation, in my opinion. This is not a rapture text. This is a end of the tribulation text. So he dealt with sin the first time. The second time, he's coming as judge, and not to pay sin. That's been done.
Mm-hmm.
So,
man, that's good.
That's good stuff. So we'll be in chapter 10 next week.
Yeah.
Next week. Can we announce some stuff, or we want to put that on hold?
Well, let's wait till next week.
Yeah, we got a Christmas present.
That's right.
A Christmas present to us, to you.
That's right.
We're very excited about the future.
Yeah, I do have one announcement to make this week, though, and that's nothing major. You know, we do have a mobile app that's available,
yeah.
And we updated it this past week. And so just a little slight different design and thing, nothing major, but, you know, right after we had, sent off to have the mobile app built, we changed our logo. And so we just had that stuff updated. Nothing major, but it'll just change the icon on your screen. But you have to download the update from your app store. So anyway, that's all we wanted to announce there. I tell you, you know, today's text, what we covered, it may have seemed like we went through a bunch of text. But, you know, sometimes we could have stopped and spent hours on one verse today. We could have stopped and, you know, but the fact of the matter is, a lot of this stuff is repetitive.
Yes.
Yeah, and so, you know, for the sake of time, we've already been through a lot of these things. And so I would say to you, if you wanted to hear more detail out of some of this text, go back and listen to the previous editions and episodes as we've studied Hebrews, and you'll hear us talk about these things. That's why we kind of just skimmed over some of this stuff, because we've been through it before.
Yeah. But it's good if you ever just kind of sink your teeth into what's going on now as far as a mediator and a high priest and what Jesus Christ is actually doing today. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And if you don't know the Lord, if you've never believed in him and on him, if you never repented of your sins, I will be upfront and honest. I've got some really, really bad news. First of all, you will not have eternal life. Second, he is not your mediator, and he is not your high priest. And that's bad. That's really bad.
Well, it is. And here's what I want people to know is, before you can come to Jesus and ask him to save you, you really need to come to a full understanding of what you're being saved from. So this is what I'm saying. We need to understand fully and totally who we are when we're born. People need to understand the condition they're born in and why they need to be saved. Because if you don't understand how truly depraved you are, you won't understand or really fully appreciate the need of Christ. and appreciate the death and the blood that was spilled out for you. So before you even come to Christ saying and call out upon his name and ask him to come and save you, you've got to understand what you need to be saved from.
Yeah. Remember, I was talking to you this week, and I said, you hear a lot of people say, Jesus is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you say?
I said, well, it depends on the question.
Yeah. What's the question?
That's right.
He is the answer. What's the question?
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what can a man do to be right with God?
Yeah.
That's the question.
That's right. And a man can do nothing to be right with God.
Nothing.
I have nothing in me to physically be able to do to be right before a holy and just God. Only Christ can do that. But I need to understand why I can't. I need to understand who I am. Mm. And who I am, Phil, is completely, totally depraved. What does depraved mean? That means I'm the opposite of God.
You're corrupt.
I am totally corrupt, and there's nothing good in me.
Not one thing.
Not one thing good in me. Romans chapter 3. Nothing good in me.
That's what Melissa Hicks said about you. She said, ain't one nothing good about you.
That's right. I would agree with that.
No, but we do. I was talking to, and as in closing, to go to heaven, you have to be perfect. You have to be 100% perfect, righteous, and obeyed every law God ever had.
Yeah.
That's the way you get to heaven. But here's the bad news. Everyone has fallen short of that standard. There's nobody except one, Jesus Christ. And if you're covered, Jimmy, by the blood that was shed on the cross, if you're covered, look, people say, well, God just, he accepts us as we are. No, he don't. No, he don't. If you ain't covered in the blood, and if you ain't in Christ, you ain't accepted to God.
That's right.
Come to Jesus. Now, you come to Jesus as you are.
That's right.
But the only way to get to God is to be in Christ.
That's right.
There's conditions.
God only accepts perfection.
Yeah.
Get that through your head. God will not accept you as you are. Jesus will cover you in his blood as you are. Jesus will meet you where you are. And Jesus will save you in the condition in which you are in. But God will never accept you short of perfect.
Yeah. So
the only way to perfection is being covered by the blood of Christ.
So another question is, not have we accepted Christ, but has God accepted us?
Yeah.
There's only one way God, the Father, will accept us, and that is to be born again of the Spirit, covered by the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross 2,000 years ago.
Mm.
If you believe that, if you put your trust in him, and then when you do that, you follow him. You have faith, you follow.
Yeah.
Faith has legs. Look, you're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's good news. Bad news, we all fall short. Cry out for mercy. God promises, his word says, if you do, you recognize you fall short, you cry out for him to save you, knowing that you fall short. Repent of your sins and believe on him. He will save you. He is your mediator and great high priest, and the one who will guarantee the will of God.
Yeah.
And that's that he will not lose you. You are secure. Nobody can snatch you out of his hands.
Mm.
Eternally secure. Praise the Lord. Man, why wouldn't you give your life to Christ?
You know, a lot of people would say to you, Phil, a lot of people would say, well, when you say God won't accept me, what they would say is that, well, that's just a play on words, Phil. You gotta give a little in that sense. But here's what I would say to you. I would read a quote to you that a very smart theologian from many, many hundreds of years ago said. He said, I consider the looseness with words no less a defect than the looseness of bowels.
So what does that mean?
It means that words mean things.
Absolutely.
And we have to be absolutely 100% accurate in what we say. Now there is a little give and take here and there, but in certain situations, we have to be exact. And the fact of the matter is, the exact representation is here, is God does not accept you as you are. Jesus saves you as you are, but God will not accept you unless you're perfect. And perfection only comes by being covered in the blood of Christ.
That's it. So believe in that.
Yeah.
All right, good word. Christmas season is upon us. Very excited, great time of year. Also, there's a lot of hurt going on. A lot of people have lost loved ones. It's really a depressing time for many, you know, and we just need to be keep that in remembrance as we deal with people every day that it's a tough time. Though it's a glorious time, it's also a very tough time. So, look, we just thank you for tuning in. If you have any questions, send us an email. You can go to our website, lifesongradio.com. There you also can listen to the previous broadcast, like Jimmy had mentioned, and just kind of get some more. There's a lot more things on there also with our new app.
Yep, download our app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, just go to your Android or iPhone app store, Google Play, or go to your iPhone app store and search Life Song Radio. It's there. Folks, we'll see you back here next week for we start chapter 10 in the book of Hebrews right here on Life Song Radio.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechim Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love save the son of Abraham, and by the power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your Messiah ought to be. Though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand that your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. Sing.